Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today, we delve into the mind of a serial millennial entrepreneur who stands out among the crowd as a pioneer in the convergence of agriculture and technology in the Bahamas. He is a 2018 Bahamian Icon Award humanitarian nominee and national award-winning entrepreneur. He is the founder and CEO of Eden Farms Limited, a tech-enabled container farming company with an innovative approach to agriculture. According to trade.gov, in a report published in September 2021, the Bahamas imports nearly 90% of its food products, 80% of which come from the United States, with statistics reflecting almost 100% of import when it comes to what we consume as a nation. The issue of food security for a people comes top of mind. Today, I speak with influencer Lincoln Deal II, philanthropist, Icon Award nominee, and CEO and founder of Eden Farms Limited, as we discuss the topic, Food Security Matters, the Great Convergence Between Farming and Technology. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer Lincoln Deal II, philanthropist, Icon Award nominee and founder and CEO of Eden Farms, as we discuss the topic, Food Security Matters, the Great Convergence Between Farming and the Technology. Welcome to the show, Mr. Lincoln Deal II. How are you doing?
Thank you. It is an honor to be here.
It's great to have you on. And there's so much that we have to discuss today. So let's just get right into it. And, you know, as we discuss, as we look at what's going on in the world today, right? Us trying to recover from this ever evolving pandemic. There's a strain just about every time you listen to the news, there's this new strain, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, the oil prices going up, impacting the prices at the gas pumps. We're definitely feeling that here in the Bahamas, particularly in the capital here in Nassau. And as a result, we continue to see food prices just going up. It's like it's going up almost every week. It's unbelievable. And the absolute importance now of food security is it's intensifying, right? And so we're going to really get into the meat of that just a little bit later. But right before we do that,
Let's start off on the lighter side of things. Let's talk about Lincoln Deal II as the philanthropist, right? There's a lot of work that you do. You're a giving person, obviously, society and community development matters to you. And so let's talk a little bit about some of what it is that you have done and that you are doing. The hashtag Lunchbag Bahamas, is that what it's called?
Hashtag Lunchbag Bahamas was actually started in 2015, where we saw a need where there were a lot of people still going hungry. In fact, hunger is still a very silent issue among families, among people in general. And you would be surprised to know the amount of persons living under the poverty level. I know that there are some statistics out there now, but you know, it's even worse than what is currently recorded based on us being so integrated in these communities, sitting with these families and understanding some of their concerns. And so Hashtag was founded to bring different groups together, whether it be Rotary, whether it be some of the local fraternities, sororities, et cetera, all together as one group to work together in bringing food, packaging it together, and distributing it as a team, basically targeting an entire area in a blitz style, giving us maximum impact, feeding thousands of people at a time. And we've been doing this consistently from 2015 until this point. And so, you know, we're just humbled and grateful for the many volunteers, the many supporters, the many sponsors and persons that would have been with us over this time.
You said thousands of persons you're feeding through this initiative?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. We feed a minimum of 2,000. Well, we prepare a minimum of about 2,000 meals.
And of course, this is the community presence of Eden Farms, if you will.
Yeah. So, well, Eden was conceptualized rather in 2013. Hashtag Lunchbag came around 2015. But one of the things that I've always believed in, just as a personal mantra, is to merge philanthropy and social impact with business ventures. And so as we continue to go on through the conversation, I would also mention some of the other social impact programs that have been recently merged into projects like Eden Farms and Eden Acres and what it means for the communities.
Why is it so important for you to have this convergence going on, if you will, of having that social and community impact and presence along with being a business owner? Why is that important to you?
Well, it's really important to me because I think much is given and so much must be given back. And, you know, a lot of these ideas, you know, I first and foremost, I'm a very God-fearing person. And so my personal belief is that, you know, these ideas and these business ventures and these opportunities are not just for our benefit, but to also benefit an entire generation, to benefit, you know, our communities. And that is how, you know, you build your village. We need more village builders in our communities to eradicate or put some type of remedy to some of the social ills in our communities. And so I just see it as us doing our part to give back. And that is critically important in nation building.
Most definitely. And talking about giving back, another one of the initiatives that you have is called Scholars Link. Talk to us a bit about that one as well, too, please.
Sure. So Scholars Link was actually started in 2017 as a scholarship program for high school students or those who may want to transition to from a public to a private institution or those who may have just fallen on hard times. And so we silently assist students in conjunction with a school who would help us to identify, you know, some of the students that may need some financial assistance. Okay. And so we've been doing it from 2017 until now. It's humbling to see the fruits of our labor now. Some of those students are now in college and it's just amazing how they are, you know, excelling in the United States and, you know, just doing well and wanting to come back to the Bahamas and contribute. And so we're just grateful for that opportunity. And it's a program that we continue to do in different schools. And
It's really amazing to hear you say that, you know, because you're really tapping into something that I want us to talk a little bit later on down in the show as well. And that is this, you know, current brain drain that we're experiencing, you know, in the Bahamas, unfortunately, and it's something that we do not need to be experiencing as a, you know, developing country, as a small island developing state. And so I want to say congrats to you at the top of the show for the wonderful work that you're doing, the community presence, the social arm of Eden Farms, if you will. Really excellent work. And on the tail end of talking about you as a philanthropist, I mean, you have, I'm sure you probably have a room that's just filled with awards, right? Recipients of the 2021 Top 48 Millennial Award, the 2021 Rotaract Service Above Self Award, the 2018 Bahamian Icon Humanitarian Award. I remember, I believe I watched that particular broadcast. And I can go on and on. I have several more here listed. And so what are those core values you believe that you possess that's really caused you to catch the eye of these award-giving organizations and bodies? Because obviously your name and your face keeps on coming up when it comes to these awards. So there must be something that's central that really speaks to your character and the business owner that you've become today, the influencer that you are today. What would you say to that?
Well, thank you. And I humbly appreciate that introduction. I live by the motto, work hard, stay humble. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of work that we do on the ground level, you know, mm-hmm. connecting with people one-on-one. First and foremost, I love people. You know, I love being able to help and contribute. Mm-hmm. I believe that we all are here for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. And it is my view that, you know, I just give what has been given back to me. Sorry, mm-hmm. give what is given to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just continue to build on that. You know, to me, it's not about the awards. It's about the impact on someone else's life, the impact of being able to help someone or connect someone that may need help. And I think that is where I find my passion and my love for our community.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And humility is definitely a characteristic that tends to be lacking a little bit more than not, unfortunately, when it comes to leaders, when it comes to persons who are even business owners. But I find that those business owners and those influencers, those persons who are out there, once you see that leadership being met with this characteristic of humility, I find that there is more bang for the buck, that there's more power, that there's more of an influential kind of a type presence there that's making more of an impact. And I definitely sense and see and hear that in the top half of this conversation that I'm having here with you today. And so I'm very, very happy about that. But that said, though, let's get into more of the topic for today, which is Food Security Matters, the great convergence between farming and technology. And of course, this show, it's called Influencers. So it's all about encouraging the listeners, really, to use the power of their influence to bring about positive change. And that is something that you're doing. But I want you to take us back a little bit into your earlier years and a little bit more into the background of the influencer that you've become today. Think about one or two persons that really stand out in your mind who's really had, you know, an impact and influence on you that relates to you saying that I'm going to become this great business owner, Eden Farms. There has to be some kind of an influencer, all right, that's impacted the young man that you were during your teenage years, growing up in high school. And talk to me about one or two of the persons who would have had this kind of influence on the person that you've become today.
Thank you. I would say that my father, you know, has had a very positive and strong influence on my life. From the foundation level, instilling, you know, various principles, you know, I grew up in the church. He instilled, you know, various character traits that mm-hmm. I watched him display in his professional life, in his work life, and in his family life. And I think that has been extremely helpful to me. And then from the business side of it, I think that there's been, you know, organizations, you know, like Junior Achievement, the late Dr. Judson Enius was mm-hmm. a mentor of mine, someone that I truly admired. Has had such an impact on not just my life, but the life of thousands of young men in this community and throughout mm-hmm. the world. And, you know, I think his impact will be seen and felt for a very long time, because mm-hmm. he was able to touch the lives of so many young men at the high school level, and, you know, help to prepare them for the real world.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if you did not participate in Junior Achievers that there would be an Eden Forms today?
Well, yeah. Junior Achievement kind of helped me to harness the business mindset. But at the age of 7 is when I actually started to make various products and selling it to family and friends. And so
at the age of 7?
Yeah, the age of 7. So I used to make cups. You know, Kool-Aid, and you freeze it, and then you sell it for a dollar.
That's the bomb. We know what you mean when you say cup.
Yeah. I did that for a few summers, actually, back to back. And then I started to make popsicle stick houses and sell them to some family and church members. And so it started then. I actually remember making my first dollar. I'll never forget it.
So I was at the front of my guy. Business acumen.
Yeah, and then when I joined, you know, organizations like Junior Achievement, mm-hmm. I found that greater love, because the organization forced you to kind of think business. You know, you mm-hmm. had to create a product, you had to prepare a marketing plan, and then you had to go and sell that product mm-hmm. to your classmates, your family, your friends, your community. And mm-hmm. so it kind of pushed me even more into the entrepreneurial space, because I mean, to be honest, mm-hmm. before then I wanted to be an architect, I wanted to be a few other things, and so that's where it started.
All right, talking about where it started, let's talk about the starting point of this great brainchild of yours, Eden Forms. What was the actual starting point that birthed this whole movement?
Right. So in 2009, I served as a junior minister of tourism. Mm-hmm. And the theme for that year was climate change and tourism. A part of the climate change crisis was food security. I had never really understood it before, but I learned a lot in that year. Mm-hmm. It was actually in 2013 that I conceptualized the idea of Eden. But at that time, it was just a research project. Called Project Eden is what I dubbed it.
Okay.
That's Eden with two E's.
Okay, yes.
Basically, it was an opportunity to find and solve some of the agricultural issues of our country, whether it be the soil quality, whether it be the fact that we're in a hurricane belt, and trying to find a way to merge technology and agriculture at that time. So I completed that project in 2013, and fast forward maybe about 2 to 3 years after that, I went to a Forbes Under 30 conference. Mm-hmm. It was at this time that I met the global pioneers of containerized farming, mm-hmm. which is freight farm. And we built a relationship. You know, I traveled there 3 times to Boston after that conference. And we started to formulate a plan for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. How would these containers work? Would they work in Mikal, Eleuthera, Grand Bahama, Nassau? And what is the social impact for the surrounding communities in terms of being able to get fresh produce on a consistent basis? Two mm-hmm. things that would have been lacking in the Bahamas for a very long time, consistency mm-hmm. and freshness. Mm-hmm. And so that is where it kind of started, you know, between that research project in 2013, and then connecting with these global pioneers in 2016, that foundation started. And then locally, I would have then connected with Gilbert Cassar, one of my co-founders, Carlos Palacios, mm-hmm. Scott Blackfire. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just took it off from there.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the importance of influence in really developing those types of business relationships, right? And networking, right? Because I listened to you just now, and I just kept on hearing the word relationship, right?
Yes.
Success in relationship is really founded upon and sustained by positive, good, progressive relationships, right? And so really, how did that come about? How did you really maneuver? How did that really happen? Sounds like some interesting stories there.
Lots of interesting stories, and it boils back to life stories. So mm-hmm. I would have known Carlos from high school, but it was years later that, you know, we kind of connected on a business level to bring our minds together, because I think, you know, teamwork and bringing collective innovation together is mm-hmm. what kind of formulates and moves things quicker. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they want to do things alone, which is fine. And there's times and seasons for that. But you also need to be able to discern when you need to bring on a team to really catapult that idea even bigger than you may be thinking or imagining. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the value of creating this synergy with like-minded individuals, because food security is huge. Mm-hmm. It is bigger than us. It is bigger than Eden Farms, right? This is a national issue that we mm-hmm. have to tackle now, not next year, not 10 years from now. Now is the time to begin sowing those seeds. And so the networking was critical, connecting with persons that also had a passion for social impact, being mm-hmm. able to feed ourselves was also important. And so the relationship with Carlos Palacios, Scott Blackwire, Gilbert Gassar was seamless. Mm-hmm. We're all in different spaces, but we brought our talents together to make Eden Farms what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the coming together of great minds with, similar common goals. And that's what I'm hearing from the story there. Absolutely amazing. And of course, we're talking about food security today. Food security matters. The great convergence between farming and technology. For those persons who may just be tuning in, I have with me influencer Lincoln Deal II, CEO and founder of Eden Farms. I was looking at various definitions for food security as a term in and of itself. And I was really caught by this definition by the Pan American Health Organization. And they say that food security is defined as and depends on three main pillars. There's food availability, there's food access, there's food utilization. Food availability means that enough food is physically present for the entire population. Food access means that individuals can obtain available food. Food utilization refers to the way people's bodies are able to use the food they eat. Now, I see that there are elements about Eden Farms that speaks to all three of these main pillars, right? And so being the CEO and founder of Eden Farms, let's talk about these three. Food availability, food access, food utilization. Do you feel that as the CEO of Eden Farms that you're really meeting these three successfully?
Yes. And there's more to be done. Not just for eating, but for farmers throughout the country. Food availability. So when we did our market research, we realized that we're getting food, but we're not confident that the food that we're getting is the best for us, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so just to give you an idea of how food travels to the Bahamas, most of our food is imported, let's say, from California. Mm-hmm. It then travels thousands of miles to a port in Miami. It then sits on the dock before being shipped mm-hmm. over to Nassau. And then it sits on the dock again, and then it's picked up. It's delivered to a warehouse, and then it sits there for a while before it's then distributed to various food stores, restaurants, etc. And so by the time you eat that piece of lettuce at your local restaurant, that lettuce is about 35 to 45 days old. And while it's
35
still looks
to
relative,
45 like, days old before it gets to my plate.
Yeah. And, you know, while it still looks relatively good, the reality is there would have been, you know, pesticides and other things.
Preservatives.
And, preservatives that would have helped to keep it, you know, intact for that long journey to your table. And so from the availability standpoint, I believe that it's very important for us to be able to grow food where we live and provide farm to table experiences where if you live on a 21 by 7, it shouldn't travel more than 21, 22 miles to get to your table. Mm-hmm. And those are the type of experiences that we want to share with our local communities when it comes to food, being mm-hmm. able to transparently know who your farmer is, mm-hmm. know when your produce was farmed, and know what's in it. Because you're only as good as what you put in you. And so this level of transparency is important, not just for knowledge sake, but for health purposes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our people should get the best. They should mm-hmm. get the fresh. We deserve the freshest.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, you know, and you're really feeding into what it is that I want to talk about next. And that is in watching one of the promos for Eden Farms. This particular line really stuck out, at, you know, to me, right? Really, it hit me like your slogan or your motto, if you will, right? And it says, we can only be as strong as what we put in us. And yep. that saying right there, it's literally true. It is so true, you know, and it's really taking me to some other reading that I did from the Pan American Health Organization and really looking at what's impacting us as a people. I'm talking about locally here in the Bahamas, right? And what it is that we're seeing with these non-communicable diseases, right? And mm-hmm. according to the Pan American Health Organization, diseases such as hypertension, you know, how many times do we hear, and it just sounds like commonplace, right? Yeah, you got pressure. Yep. My mommy got pressure, right? Hypertension, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, and cancers are major concerns for the population of the Bahamas. These diseases are among the leading causes of mortality and account for nearly 45% of all deaths in the Bahamas, right? And there's a direct correlation between what it is that we're putting into our bodies, what it is that we're eating, and the yes. kinds of non-communicable diseases that we are seeing in the country today. How do you feel as the CEO, and founder of Eden Farms, and this concept that you just described, which is straight from the farm right onto your table? You're literally going to be impacting this 45% statistic that we're seeing here today.
Yeah, I think it is critically important. And those statistics that you just identified really, you know, gives even more reason for us to look at what we consume, where we consume it from, and pivot quickly into buying local produce mm-hmm. and being able to source and grow your own food. I mean,
yes.
As well as just home gardens, you know, you can grow your own lettuce and tomatoes and add that to your plate, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to add some of these nutritional foods
yes.
to your weekly diets, I believe would help us. But as it stands now, you know, there's an educational campaign that needs to happen with statistics like that in place, and also showing the importance and the value of eating fresh,
mm-hmm.
eating local.
That's right.
And adding new things to your diets.
Mm-hmm. You're so right, you know, because even as you were talking about the 35 to 45 days, I was like, oh,
yeah.
You know, because there are different types of learners, and some of us, we need to have this visual, right? We need this mental picture. It really makes the point for us, and it drives home, right? The message. And that's exactly what you did when you spoke to me about the 35, 45. I was literally just seeing it sitting out there in the dock, right? And then me going into the store and buying that, and then going and putting that on my plate and saying, hey, I'm being healthy, right? I only have my protein, I'm a little small piece of protein, and I got a whole big salad on this side. But how long has this been sitting on the shelf, right? And what's on here? Preservatives, right? And all this stuff. And so you're really, really driving it home. And it's really speaking to the extreme importance of what it is that you all are doing there at Eden Farms. And with that said, let's talk a little bit about marketing. What's the intended market of Eden Farms, those specific target markets that you have in mind? And how exactly do you plan on reaching them? And if you have already, what's the relationship like and what's going on there?
We import over, the Bahamas rather, imports over $1 billion worth of fruits and vegetables, foods on a yearly basis. That's billion with a B.
Yes.
And that number dramatically increases over the years. I remember when I was doing my research project, it was around 700 to 800 million. And, you know, since then, we've increased to, you know, over a billion, and it's trending upward. Even if you look now, you would see supply chain challenges. And even at the height of the pandemic, you know, there were times when different countries said, you know, we can't ship certain types of food because we need to ensure that our country is taken care of first, right? We don't ever.
And isn't that the way it should be?
Not good for us.
I'm just saying that we as a country, as a small island developing state, need to make sure that we're playing our part in empowering when it comes to empowering a Lincoln Deal the Second. And I've seen some of that happening recently, and we're going to be talking about that later on down in the show, and making sure that we are securing our own food security, making sure that we are, point that we're trying to make here. But yes, go ahead, continue. Yeah.
And so our current market with our container farms, we're servicing a lot of the local hotels. We're servicing a lot of restaurants on a wholesale basis. There is a huge demand for retail. And we do offer retail packaging at our location at the Braun Business Center. But we've realized that the demand is so great now for fresh produce that we have to expand, right? It goes back to what I was saying earlier. With a $1 billion import bill, we need multiple farmers and companies to really help to tackle that bill collectively. So most recently, Eden Farms has announced our partnership with 80 Acres Farms to create Eden Acres, which will be a 80,000 square foot robotics enabled hydroponic indoor farm on Gladstone Road by end of 2023. And we're extremely excited for that because we would be able to grow over 2 million pounds of food on a yearly basis, and we will try to continue to increase that. Additionally, we would be able to grow
Over 2 million pounds of food, over 2 million pounds of food per year.
Yes, per year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
And so that is where we're headed next, based on what we've seen the demand in the market to be. And so it's exciting, but we're also trying to be very intentional about what we're producing, who we're selling to, and ensuring that not just Nassau, but our islands are able to.
I'm happy to hear you say that. Fresh from the islands.
Produce, because the reality is, if it takes 35 to 45 days to get to your table, when it reaches Nassau, it then has to ship to the islands. And imagine how long it takes to get
then
to.
Then it's even longer. Yes.
Correct.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, the price point at that point is also higher. So if you've ever purchased produce on a specific island, you would notice that it's 2 to 3 times the price, unfortunately. And so we want to be able to help our islands. We want to be able to service our islands and not just giving them, not just cutting down that timeline, but also getting them fresher food. Because by the time it reaches Inagua, there's a lot of wastage and spoilage. And so they're throwing out a lot of what was just shipped to them. And we need to ensure that this does not happen, that none of our islands or our people are disenfranchised based on these supply chain challenges.
You just said the word disenfranchised, right? Because that's exactly what I was thinking about. Thinking about the small business owner, the mom and pop shops, right? And the kind of losses that they may be experiencing as a result of what it is that you just described. Yeah, you're painting a lot of pictures here for us today, and we need these visuals to help us to understand Lincoln Deal the Second. And so I really appreciate these pictures that you're painting for us today. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and we are discussing the topic Food Security Matters, the Great Convergence Between Farming and Technology. We're going to be back in just a bit. Please stay tuned.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Things, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Things at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is influencer Lincoln Deal II. He is, of course, the founder and CEO of Eden Farms, soon to be Eden Acres. And we are discussing the topic here today. Food security matters, the great convergence between farming and technology. And you had a lot of good to say right before going to the break. And you were talking about the cost having to go up as a result of it having to go on, you know, another boat, right? Before it gets onto the table of our, you know, beloved family islanders here in the Bahamas, right? When you said that, though, it brought a question to mind. And that is, do you have in your plans as the CEO of Eden Farms to hopefully expand possibly in having maybe some smaller plants on one or two of the major family islands, and not necessarily the major family islands either?
Yeah, indeed. So the containerized farms that we're using are proprietary, and they are built to efficiently grow food anywhere in the world. And so our island makeup provides a unique opportunity to strategically position any of these containers anywhere, whether it's next to a mom and pop shop, whether it's next to a community center. We can literally put this anywhere and begin growing food that our islands can now access. You know, I know you talked about access, can now access on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, fresh produce, less miles, significantly less miles, at a very affordable cost. And so, yes, we have been having conversations with a few persons in the islands who expressed interest in having one of these containers there, whether it be a small boutique resort or a mom and pop shop. The opportunities are definitely there. And these hurricane resilient farms makes it even easier, because just to give you some statistics, one of our farm, which is 40 feet long, equates to about 3 acres of farmland.
40 feet translates to 3 acres.
3 acres of farmland. That's amazing. Because we're growing vertically. And we're using only 5 gallons of water per day, with 97% less than traditional agriculture. And everything
is 97, 97.
97%
wow,
less.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so this closed loop system makes it very easy for, you know, islanders to maintain and be able to grow their food on the ground.
All of what you're saying is very, very encouraging, especially with us, you know, being located in Hurricane Belt, right? As a people, we will never, ever forget Hurricane Dorian, right? And of course, we know about the damages that have been ensued as a result of that Munster storm. I believe in an earlier conversation I had with you, you made mention of damages that you would have experienced, I believe, or persons that you know very well would have experienced as a result of Hurricane Dorian, yes?
Yeah. So, you know, the reason systems like this is so important, I have my father-in-law actually has a, well, had a farm on one of the islands, and he had acres and acres of produce and cattle, and Dorian took that out in a day, 2, 3, 4 days, however long it hovered over those islands. And that was it. You know, years and years of work, years and years of labor and planting seeds and nurturing those plants and chickens was gone in a day, 2 days. And so being able to now grow indoor provides you opportunity, even post a hurricane or a catastrophic situation, to then send one of these farms to those impacted islands and help them in being able to get back on their feet and have fresh food for those communities. And so right now our containers are bolted down with hurricane anchors 15 feet in the ground. Shout out to my partners, Carlos Palacios, those who are engineers.
The engineers, right?
It's built with a Category 5 hurricane in mind.
It's built with a Category 5 hurricane in mind.
Correct.
So God forbid, and I really mean when I say God forbid, right? Should something like that happen again, Eden Farms, the structures that you have in place, will be able to withstand a hurricane Category 5, is what you're saying to me?
Correct.
This is amazing. This is a wow. That's amazing. This is definitely the way of the future. Not just the way of the future. It sounds like it's the way of the now, because we are currently experiencing Hurricane Dorians as the Bahamas, as persons, as countries, small island developing states, you know, along this hurricane belt. And we definitely need to be innovative thinkers. We need to be insightful. We need to see down the road 10, 20 years. We need to be generational in our thinking. Yes. A lot of times, unfortunately, when it comes to even national leadership, you know, it tends to just be for the here and now and not really thinking futuristically, right? And that is something that definitely needs to change. With that said, though, something here from trade.gov, and before even getting to this, I'm remembering the word profitability. I'm going to put that question there and pause. And I want to ask you about profitability, right? Because when you tend to have to do business at home, right? The cost of really executing business, you know, and operating business locally, right, is not the cheapest, right? So how do you keep that profitability in tow while also encouraging affordability when it comes to selling your produce?
So we spend extensive amount of time doing market research and trying to ensure that our produce is affordable. And so even with our Eden Acres project that is about to take off, we spent almost a year gathering data with local hotels, looking at where they import from, how much do they spend, looking at some of the local wholesalers and finding out the same thing. And we've been able to find that perfect middle ground that would provide us the opportunity to produce and sell our produce total with the US markets. And so we are very comfortable. We're very confident that when you see our produce in the stores, we will go toe-to-toe and maybe even lower than some of our local competitors, sorry, international competitors, rather. One of the other beneficial things that I think the government has put in place a policy where 40% of everything that cruise ships and hotels purchase must mm-hmm. come from local farmers. And likewise, 75% of what the government purchases must come from local farmers. And mm-hmm. so I think policies of this nature also help in, you know, finding that sweet spot, if I could say, of opportunity, profitability, and affordability.
Mm-hmm. Yes, most definitely so. And in addition to what it is that you just described when it comes to policy, that's not yet legislative per se, right? Not just yet, but it's definitely a step in the right direction for the most part. Let's just say we have a Lincoln Deal the second in the house, right? You're sitting in there, you're one of the policy makers, right? What, in addition to what it is that you just described for us, would you suggest, or would you do rather, that needs to happen when it comes to ensuring food security here in the Bahamas, as well as supporting, you know, another Eden Farms per se? What would you say?
Well, food security is national security. And so one of the most important things.
Don't just roll over that. Food security is what? Say that again.
National security.
National security. I needed you to repeat that. Go on.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we empower our local farmers even mm-hmm. more than we have over the years. Mm-hmm. I think the reason the industry has been a bit stagnant over the years would be, you know, access to land, access to opportunity, access to financing. And so it would be important for me to ensure that they're able to compete with the U.S. producers that are importing most of the stuff coming into the market. And mm-hmm. so if there is a farmer, Lady Shima, that produces X amount of tomatoes, and we import that exact same amount of tomatoes, there should be policies in place to put a moratorium on that particular import, allowing Lady Shima to now exclusively produce and distribute to every entity, mm-hmm. The wholesale market, the retail market, the hotels, mm-hmm. the cruise ship, her locally grown tomatoes that they would be able to use on all of their plates. And I think that's important because now you have U.S. producers that are heavily subsidized by government, which mm-hmm. is why their prices can be what it is, and which makes it difficult for the local farmers to compete with that cost factor. Mm-hmm. And so we need to empower our farmers a bit more through policy, mm-hmm. Through access to land, and access to real capital, right? Not just a couple pennies, real capital that can give you
a real substantial start and help you to be able to maintain and sustain, right? Sustainability is important, not just getting started in the business, but being able to sustain it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you know what it is that you're saying is so very important. You know, you're talking about access to land, and you're talking about empowering the local farmer and helping them to be able to compete with these international larger bodies, right? And who receive quite a bit of subsidies from their government. And so when it comes to policy make sure that word is heard.
Sorry, let me give you an example. The cost of electricity in this for farmers are even subsidized in the U.S. And so they're basically growing for free. The government gives them money to grow. Their electricity bills, their water bills are all subsidized or heavily discounted mm-hmm. to assist them in increasing their profit, increasing their yield, and being able to export on a major level. And so we need to do the same. The cost of electricity in the Bahamas is ridiculously high. The cost of business is ridiculously
high. Just doing business, that's right. So
these things need to come down a bit to make it even attractive for persons wanting to invest into the agriculture industry, because the money is there. Mm-hmm. But if all of these loopholes and barriers of entry is in place, then we're not going to be able to secure ourselves and If the world wants to shut down and say that, well, we can't ship to the Bahamas anymore, we need to ensure that our Americans are taken care of, then we're stuck.
Mm-hmm. And herein lies the reason for us having to have these policies in place to ensure that an Eden Farms, soon to become Eden Acres, is successful, right? Let's talk a little bit about this. Talk about this transition. Talk about the relationship. I remember seeing the news story with the Prime Minister and also with the Minister for Agriculture. And I believe that you all were together and making a trip to, was it to 80 Acres? And really having acres a tour. Talking about the expansion and the future of Eden Farms.
Eden Acres is going to be a $60 million investment into the agricultural industry. Okay. It is a joint partnership between Eden Farms and 80 Acres Farms. And we were grateful to have Prime Minister Philip Davis, as well as Minister of Agriculture Clay Sweeting, travel with us to Ohio at their headquarters to tour the facility and see the level of impact that we will have in the Bahamas. And not just the Bahamas, but the Caribbean, because this farm would be the first of its kind in the Caribbean using a closed loop system. We have robotics, artificial intelligence, and some of the best technology in the agricultural industry. And so we were grateful to have the Prime Minister there with us as we, you know, sealed the deal with 80 Acres to bring this farm to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. You received actual funding towards making this a reality?
Yeah, we're a joint. Well, no, we're not funded by the government. Let me just make that clear. We are 100% privately funded, but we were happy to have the support and the level of interest from the government who is assisting us with, you know, any local legalities in getting the project started. But no, it is a 100% privately funded venture.
Okay. All right. I just had to ask that there. I just wanted to be sure and to hear from you whether or not there was a direct financial injection into making this expansion from Eden Farms to Eden Acres a reality and a success. And absolute kudos to what it is that you are doing, the founder and CEO of Eden Farms. But right before we wrap up, we've still got about 3 or 4 more minutes on the clock before we end this great show today. I really, really enjoyed discussing this very, very critical and important topic with you, that of food security. And I was watching quite a bit of videos and really preparing to interview you today. And one of the things that really stood out to me was that I saw quite a number of women when it comes to most of the videos that I watched with Eden Farms. And I was like, this is amazing. They're engineers and they're playing a critical role in what it is that you're doing down there at Eden Farms. Because when we tend to think about farming, you know, we don't necessarily tend to automatically picture a woman first and foremost. Now, Eden Farms has totally changed that. Talk about the impact of women with what's going on down there at Eden Farms.
The women run the farm.
They run the farm. Oh, my goodness. Sure.
They are leading the charge in agriculture right now. We are excited about the level of love, care, and interest that our farm management team, all led by women, all women, all young women with degrees in biology, sustainability, environmental impact, different degrees, but all tying in now to the agricultural industry. And so the impact that we're seeing from this is now we're trying to make agriculture attractive again by, you know, merging new technology with agriculture, merging educational, but also employment opportunities that would have not existed before. And that is very important to us because a lot of these young women could have stayed in the United States or some other part of the world with their degrees, saying that there's no opportunity for me to now take my knowledge and use it in the Bahamas. But what we're seeing now is with this new technology, they are rushing back. They're coming back and they are working. They're doing their what they love. They're executing their passion.
That's excellent.
And they are pioneering an entire new industry and career in the Bahamas. And so we get a lot of love for the industry. I mean, just a few days ago, we had some students from a local school tour, and they were just amazed by, you know, what we're doing and how we're growing. There's a misconception that agriculture only looks a certain way and a farmer only looks a certain way. But these young ladies, they're wearing tennis heels, you name it, whatever they want to wear, because they're working in an indoor environment, but able to grow food. And we're also, they're also inspiring another generation.
Exactly.
Young people that may not now go the conventional route of careers, but now they can say, I want to be an agricultural engineer or an agricultural biologist in the Bahamas and bring those skills back home.
That's excellent. You know, you're helping to alleviate the brain drain that we're experiencing here in the Bahamas. And you know what I find to be the case? And that is a lot of young, bright minds, Bahamians, when they leave the country, they have the desire to return. They want to return. Yep. They want to return to help to bring further development and advancement to their home country. But when it comes to actual opportunities, right?
Correct.
If they're lacking, then there's going to be a challenge as to whether or not I should really return. So when we have an Eden farm, soon to be Eden Acres, it is so, so very encouraging, right? And I was really happy when you spoke about the tour and really changing this whole perception of what agriculture and what farming is really all about, you know, because we have this traditional picture in our minds that's not necessarily attractive to the millennial, right? And so now with what it is that you're doing, you're changing this whole visual. There we go with that word again, right? In the minds of those who are upcoming and saying, listen, this is an area that you can develop interest in. And yeah, you can come to work with your heels on, right? And still play an integral role when it comes to food security in the Bahamas. Great show today, Mr. Lincoln Deal, the second owner and CEO of Eden Farms, soon to be Eden Acres. I really enjoyed this conversation here with you today.
Thank you, Lady Shaman. I mean, you've done an outstanding job with the show. Thank you for bringing the information and bringing persons together to share, you know, what's happening in the country. I think your show is amazing. I look forward to listening to it on a weekly basis now, and continue to inspire, continue to connect the dots, and continue to be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much. So that's going to be it here for today for Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Your host, Lady Shima. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.